Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we want this podcast to roll us over slowly, stick a knife inside us, and twist it all around. We want this podcast to grab our fingers gently, slam them in a doorway, put our faces into the ground.
Wait, what?
Friday.
Yeah, I don't want to leave.
You don't?
No, I like
you stay here all weekend.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Yeah,
it's been long enough, guys. Maybe you should.
People are asking from upstairs. Are they gone yet? It's a common theme in our podcasting.
We are hanging out in College Park, Maryland,
mm-hmm.
The suburbs on the other side of the District of Columbia.
The other side of the rivers.
Took us a while to get here. It was quite an adventure. It was pouring rain, as mm-hmm. it has been for seemingly forever.
Yes.
Here. And but we made it, and we're hanging out at Andrew Toy's house. This is not a toy house, but Andrew Toy's house.
House of Toy, sure.
Yes. It is like that, right?
Yeah.
This is the rehearsal space for the band Pyramid Scheme,
mm-hmm.
and it's really cool. And this is a very comfortable space for you to rehearse, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has that, you know, the word's escaping me, but it's just, you know, it's warm.
Yeah,
it's cozy.
It does have that warm vibe. Yeah, it's nice.
The AC is broken, actually.
Sure. So.
Got the fan going.
Right, yeah,
now. That's right.
Okay, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us all this week, thanks very much. It's the band Pyramid Scheme. We have Darian Day, we have Andrew Toy, and we have Lisa Saeed. We're going to hear one of their songs from their new EP, Get Rich Quick 2, at the end of this show.
Okay.
But before we do that, we're going to have another perfect pop pick.
That's
We've
right,
been doing
Jim.
That all week.
Mm-hmm.
This was going to be my pick, but hold that for a second.
Okay.
Because getting back to the rehearsal space thing, we haven't heard any music played in this rehearsal
right.
space on mic. So we were thinking maybe a drum solo would be good.
Oh, geez.
You up for that?
Yeah.
Always. Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So hand the mic over to Lisa here and then, run back behind the kit.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I'm got to get in the right mindset. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Sure.
Just okay. Moby Dick real quick. He did it. That was amazing.
A controlled Keith Moon here.
That was beautiful.
He blew our ears out,
I know,
but that's
it was
okay.
Fantastic. Yeah.
That
Very
was good.
Beautiful.
See?
Thank you, Andrew.
All right.
Yeah.
Pleasure. That is a Rockin' the Suburbs exclusive.
That's right.
Piece of music.
Yep. Can't right find there, that so. Anywhere else. You've got two kits over here, Andrew. What is is one like for traveling that's a little lighter or?
Oh, no. There's different kits for different playing situations. Like
okay.
sometimes when it's just me and Lisa, it's lower volume. Sometimes smaller venues, I might use a smaller set for that. For more of the rock show, maybe a bigger kit. And not bigger, more pieces, just bigger sizes, bigger cymbals, things like that.
Got it.
Okay.
Cool. Very cool.
Gong?
Working on it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
We like a good gong.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've had some Rush discussions, and we had a drummer, Bobby Padovic, and he said, oh, yeah, I have a gong.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think he had a double bass drum, but he did have a gong. Yeah.
You could make the double bass thing work
it's
here.
It's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Okay, so we're going to get into another perfect pop song.
That's right, Jim.
And
Jim, it's your turn.
It's my turn,
mm-hmm.
right? I know. Now I'm on the spot.
Yeah.
Okay, I picked this particular song because I have a story about a concert that I just went to.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so I thought it ties into that. I want to talk more about that concert in a little bit, but let's get to the song first. I think people have heard of this artist. His name is Jack White.
Yep.
He has many songs that I think are just very well-crafted songs, and I've actually really been sort of impressed and intrigued by his solo career because I think with the White Stripes, you know, being that it was just a two-member band, even though they put out some really great records, after a while, sort of like, where else can you really go with
mm-hmm.
this, right? And
mm-hmm.
so I really liked hearing his solo records because he's able to explore a lot of different instruments and textures and styles, all stuff. So if I have to pick one song, though, that from his catalog that I think is perfect, it would actually be the first single from his debut album.
Oh.
And it is this.
Slowly stick a run off inside me and twist it all around. I want love to grab my fingers gently, slam them in a doorway, put my face into the ground. I want love to murder my own mother and take her off to somewhere like hell or up above. And I want love to change my friends to enemies, change my friends to enemies, show me how it's all my fault. I won't let love disrupt, corrupt, or interrupt me. I won't let love disrupt, corrupt, or interrupt me. Yeah, I won't let love disrupt, corrupt, or interrupt me anymore. I want love to walk right up and bite me, grab a hold of me and fight me, leave me dying on the ground. And I want love to spit my mouth wide open and cover up my ears and never let.
Earlier in the week, Lisa said that she likes songs with dark lyrics and themes. Is that dark enough for you?
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of those stuff that I feel like he's referencing. Even though I can't put my finger on it, at the production style was, yeah, I mean, I like it. Yeah, it was the first time I heard it, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As I mentioned, this is off the album Blunderbuss,
yep.
Which was, what year was that? 2012, oh, okay. Right? And this was the first single, which I actually didn't remember that being the case. But so think about that, though. You know, coming off the White Stripes where, you know, he's got like the, you know, heavy electric guitars and very bluesy and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then to come out with a song like this, which is just very stripped down, you mm-hmm. know, that acoustic, that little organ that plays in there. Really
counter
nice
melody.
Done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The singer with him is Ruby Amamfu, mm-hmm. is her name. And I think that's just lovely, the way their voices blend yeah. together. He also wrote this soon after his divorce.
Ah.
So it kind of depends on how you look at this song. You can look at it, there's just a lot of bitterness in it, right? Yep. And it even gets to the point about show me how it's all my fault. You know, it's kind of this idea of trying to process all of that, what went wrong, mm-hmm. the relationship, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And I also find it interesting that the verses and the chorus almost seem to compete with each other in the terms of the sentiment. So if I look at it like this, you know, the chorus being, I won't let love disrupt, corrupt, or interrupt me anymore. That obviously feels very much like coming off of a breakup. You yeah. know, I just don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. I'm not going to let it happen. But really, with the verses, with all this like really horrible graphic things happening, right, that he wants love to do to him, I think what he's really trying to say here is like, you know, I don't want to do this again unless it just completely takes over my life,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just can't be this thing. It has to be so like just almost like it just devastates you.
Yeah.
I think that's a great pick. Looking at that song from a melodic standpoint, we also got to remember, in addition to the White Stripes, Jack White was doing the Rat Gun Tours, which
right.
is actually my favorite project that he's ever done. Huh. And a credit to his songwriting with Brendan Benson, which I think heavily influenced these solo Jack White records that we're hearing now. Because, of course, the Rat Gun Tours, they did a lot of what the White Stripes did, being a twin guitar band, a lot of fuzz, a lot of octave pedals, but they also took it down and did a lot of acoustic things with violins, which Lily Mae Reich actually handles now in Jack White's solo stuff. But my point, the twin vocals in that song Love Interruption, I think is totally a product of his work with Brendan Benson, because the harmonies, instead of just doing the typical thirds and the fifths that we'll hear in a lot of what we call popular music, there was a lot of sixths and, you know, other things that we would call dissonant that give the vocal sort of an eerie feeling. You
yeah.
know,
mm-hmm.
it's not always happy sounding. And I forget the backing vocalist's name, but a lot of the times her vocals would roller coaster over Jack White's sort of stagnant,
yes.
Melodically speaking, vocals.
Yeah.
So that's all. That's what sticks out to me from that song, Love Interruption.
So there you go. Yeah. Love Interruption. That's my pick.
Yeah. Nice. Very nice.
Andrew, I love how it's both a love song and a breakup song all
right,
at
yeah.
once. Because usually it's one or the other, but
right.
but that was both. So that's a cool pick.
Yeah. yeah.
I hadn't heard that. I hadn't really, it's been a while since I heard that album. So very cool.
Yes. And just very intense.
Yeah,
I don't think you can listen to this
yeah.
song
mm-hmm.
and not come out the other end feeling something.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, did he play this song at the show you
he
saw
did.
Recently? Okay.
He did. And it was really nice. So I was at the Jack White. I also want to ask you guys your opinion on this.
Yeah.
when you go to a Jack White show, you have to turn in your phone. Right. Have you heard of this?
Into the bag, yeah. The lock bag. Yeah.
They give this little pouch. You don't have to actually, you know, hand it over to somebody, but they give you this little pouch. You slip your phone into the pouch, and then they lock it, and then you can carry that around with you, whatever, but you can't actually get at your phone. And we knew this all going in. They make a big deal of it when you buy the tickets, you know, is what's going to happen.
It's an artist decision, right? It's not a club decision.
Okay. That's right. It's not the venue. I was kind of hesitant on this because my first feeling was, you know, this is 2018. You know, you just, as an artist, as a musician, you just have to deal with technology and you have to adapt to that and you have to understand how people use technology or what they do with it and make it work for you and not try to tell people, you know, set these rules you can or can't do this. Although, you know, back when we were growing up, it was no cameras, please.
Yeah, right. That's right.
But people aren't going to give up their phones. But Darian?
Well, yeah. Well, so just on that no cameras, please, there was a huge difference, you know, between carrying a Hi8 camcorder right. And now, you know, we can hide in our phone.
That's right.
So, yeah.
That's right. So it's one of these things where there's no turning back the clock, right? There's no putting the genie back in the bottle, the toothpaste back in the tube, things, right? But yet, maybe there is in this way. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of thinking, you know, I don't know, this seems like a little much, but it's Jack White. I really want to go see him. He's very big on, you know, controlling sort of every aspect of the performance and what you see and all that. So I was like, I'll, if there's anybody out there who I'll give the benefit of the doubt to, it's him. So we did it. And I got to say, I did not miss my phone. So that was good. I do feel like I was probably more engaged in the show. And about halfway through, it's sort of like I had to remind myself like, oh, nobody's standing in front of me holding up their phones.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like that's just not happening. And so actually, I kind of liked it. So it turned me around on this thing. So I'm curious what you guys think about that from a fan perspective and from a musician's perspective.
Well, I think that's definitely something we're seeing a lot of. I know, and it's, you know, it's in other stage shows like comedy, like Lisa saw Dave Chappelle and he also enforces the same thing. So I think as a creator and artist standpoint, a lot of what it comes down to, Jack White is someone who was touring professionally in the 90s and before. So he remembers a time before we all had cell phones, a time when, you know, your material wasn't being put on the internet and you weren't losing money. I think that's what it comes down to. Of course, there's the artist integrity, but I think a lot of people, it comes down to money because Prince was, of course, a huge proponent of the same types of things. As for me, my personal perspective, I started making music in a time when the internet was real and I'm used to not making a dime off music. So, you know, I don't have feelings on it one way or another.
Right.
But yeah, so I think it just depends on what mindset you're coming at it from. And I can see all perspectives.
I'm a fan of it as a person in the audience. The only trick is if you go to a show and you go alone, then you have to talk to people or just stand there alone. So as this person that will sometimes go to shows alone, it's a little tricky. But I did go to Dave Chappelle. I had that. I went alone. I sat next to a lovely woman and I talked to her and heard about all her DC comedy experience. So mm-hmm. It was fun. It turned out to be a good experience, which I didn't expect.
And I can see both sides of it. I think that, you know, if somebody somehow gets enjoyment out of documenting their entire day, even like kind of, you know, looking back at like grainy concert footage or pictures of their dinner or whatever, if that somehow brings them happiness, I think that that's cool. But on the other hand, I think it's incredibly lame if people are like videotaping a show. So I don't know, if only there was a subtle way to like shame them with it without having to like confiscate their phones, like a schoolmaster or something like that. So yeah. And as a performer, you know, both ways, I mean, especially once you see like a bunch of phones coming up, if you're on stage, you're a lot less likely to take risks and things like that, which is where I'd say the good things happen. So it's a little bit of mental conditioning to like ignore the cameras and just kind of not care, pretend they're not there, even though you know that everything's being documented, which can be cool. I mean, maybe it's a good performance and you're going to be glad somebody put it on YouTube or something. But other times it's like, oh, just be in the moment, you know, wish these nerds would just put their phones away. So I can see both sides.
Yeah, I think it's bigger than a black and white issue. It's, you know, there's many aspects. Like, I mean, I every single day I subscribe to a lot of YouTube channels that are primarily, you know, self-recorded shows. And then that'll, if I like what I see there, then it, that will, you know, affect my decision to go see a band. Because, of course, it's never going to be the same. That's not an argument, you know? There's no substitution for the subs pumping you in the chest, for, you know, the cymbal slicing your ear. And just, and I mean that in a good way. So it's not whether one is better or not, but, you know, it could be used as an advertisement tool as well, you know?
Well, that's how I would think. If you are, especially a younger band or up-and-coming band or things like that, then I would think you want people to share stuff on social media, right? Isn't that the world that we live in today?
Right.
But then I suppose when you reach a certain point where that's not as important anymore, and then you want to have
control,
more control. And then also I think what you, what Andrew said is interesting too, that idea of, it does it place kind of a separation between the performer and the audience too? Like I said, when if he's playing Seven Nation Army, right, and everybody's going to hold up their phone to get a little bit of that so they can post it on Instagram or whatever, tell their friends, like, I was there. Does it impact the performer?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he feels like he's not playing for the audience so much as playing for, you know, the audience's Instagram friends or something like that. So, yeah, I could see that being a little bit of a disconnect.
Yeah.
I think in the interim, because, you know, like you said, it's 2018. The phones aren't going anywhere. They're getting smaller. We're getting more. People have multiple phones. That is what it is. I think in the interim, this current, the putting it in the pouch, you know, that's the best idea that we've got going. Because, like, you know, if there's an emergency, you're free to step out.
That's right. That's
right. But at the bottom line, it's just keeping you from, you know, filming the artist's work. So for right now, I think this is the best solution.
Yeah.
So let's hear some more Pyramid Scheme.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Why not? I think that's great. That. Yeah, let's finish out the EP. It's a wonderful record. Congratulations, guys. It really came out great. You know, you really did a good job. Now tell us a little bit. Are you guys actively writing new tunes, or, you know, what are the next 6 months look like for you guys?
Yeah, so we don't know. We can't predict the future, but I do know we've been writing some songs. We're working on another song that I was resurrecting from a former band, and just trying to like reshape that one. Otherwise, yeah, we're just writing. No plans to record yet. It would be great to have somebody swoop in and pay for everything, but you know,
would be nice.
But yeah, we're just writing as much as we can. And, yeah, there's no lack of content. It's just a matter of getting it down and when.
But no maybe lack of content. That's good.
No lack of content, yeah.
Write that down.
That's the album title, isn't it?
Do you want to go through that, how people find Pyramid Scheme?
Well, Pyramid Scheme can be found on Facebook, Instagram, pyramidscheme.com with an I instead of a Y, Spotify if you'd like to hear some sound samples, as well as Bandcamp and SoundCloud.
Very cool. And the EP, as I mentioned, is called Get Rich Quick 2.
Yep.
We are going to play out with Pay to Play, and people should listen to Rock in the Suburbs
every day.
We won't go through all this, but do send us your perfect pop picks. Feature listener picks sometime soon. The easiest way is to call 612-440-1984
if you have any thoughts on the whole phone locked up thing in a show. Yeah, love to hear that too.
Or email us rock@suburbspod.com. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @suburbspod. All right, thanks very much for having us all this week. It's been fantastic.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
Camping
you.
Out really in the cool. basement.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, man.
I know.
We got to clean up
down
here.
Guys.
It's kind
All
of a
right.
mess.
Yeah. Time to go.
Let's build those Cheetos.
All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
With us,
Darian Day.
Lisa Saeed.
Andrew Toy.
Talk to everybody next week. it's going to just take over your life in some way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I feel like I'm stumbling a little bit, but that's right.